Welcome back to the Back in Time podcast, and welcome to a special episode. This week, we are diving into a review of Zombieland Double Tap. But before we get to that, let me bring in my co-host, JD. JD, how are you today?
Dude, I'm doing pretty fantastic. I'm excited to be chatting some Zombieland finally. So it's that time of the year, our Halloween episode up and running and doing fantastic. So let's rock and roll.
Yeah, well, let's get to it. I guess I wanted to start with Zombieland Double Tap and then kind of get into the original movie a little bit as we kind of discuss things here. But so just to kind of lay the groundwork out real quick, I have not actually had the chance to watch the movie yet. I had some things pop up over the weekend. JD has. So he's going to be the one really dropping the review on you guys. And then I'll be talking about box office numbers and the critic response to it and kind of comparing it to the original. So let's start with the non-spoilers. JD, first off, what'd you think of Zombieland Double Tap?
It's the kind of movie that delivers on every single promise that you can think that it would. It awesome. Doesn't let you down at all from the original. I think a lot of times the problem that sequels come into is they either are way too similar to the original, which causes some people to bat an eye and they're like, well, this is just a rehash of the original, or it gets too far away from the original where they say it's too different. I don't like it. But I think that they do a great job of balancing the two, of bringing in some originality to it while also rehashing some of what made the original so damn good.
Wow. That really gets me excited that it didn't let you down on any level, because you're a pretty tough critic. Like, we've watched movies before and you're like, meh, it's all right.
Yeah, it's no.
I love, too. And I'm just like, oh, come on, throw me a bone, dude.
Well, I've got a soft spot in my heart for zombie movies as it is. And as most movies are and trends are, cyclical in that the zombie genre just ran out of gas a few years ago. And so we haven't had any really quality content in that genre in a while. So it was really good to sort of get something new out there that's worthwhile and not just repetitive to everything else that's coming out in the marketplace.
Okay. Well, that brings me to a perfect transition of let's talk a little bit about the original. So 2009, 10 years ago, this movie came out October 2nd. It did very, very well. What do you remember about watching that first movie? Was that something you saw in theaters? Did you catch that on Redbox?
I was in theaters. It was Zombie Mania back in 2009 when this came out. So I was definitely not front row and center, but middle row and center when this came out. And just to get the quality of the actors that they had and the uniqueness between the way that their characters are brought to life in the original, with somebody like Jesse Eisenberg playing across Woody Harrelson. It's just on paper, it doesn't necessarily sound like that great of a recipe, but his zany neuroticism versus his Woody's macho heroicism is just so funny. It's such a great combo.
Columbus. I just love it. Yeah. There's so many good things about the original. Yeah. That was one that I saw in theaters as well. And I just thought, man, this movie has a little bit of everything. Like, it has zombie mania, you know, something, brother, zombie mania, dude, and all the zombie knights. Just, I mean, everybody wanted to see that. I mean, you've got the big show that was out at that time, which The Walking Dead. I drew a blank for a second there. That I was actually watching that show at that time. And now 10 years later, it's still on and I could give two fucks about that show.
Dude, nobody talks about that.
Why it's still on. I don't know why it's even on.
I watched one episode of it and that was enough for me.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about the original, just the success of the movie. So it was definitely a movie, as we say, that kind of caught on pretty quick. Right out of the gates, $24.7 million opening weekend, on its way to grossing about almost $76 million domestically, 26 foreign, so over $100 million for this little, it's not little, but I mean, by today's standards, with all the Marvel movies, a $20 million budget really isn't all that much, especially for a company like Sony Columbia. The critic response on the movie, I guess if you had to guess, JD, how do you think critics received the original?
I have to guess, and I know you're going to make me guess. I don't, it's the part that I'm drawing a roadblock into coming up with a good number is because it is Zombie Mania, and being that it's 10 years ago, I don't necessarily know that critics responded to the freshness of it versus the overdrawn repetitiveness of the genre. That being said, it's a pretty solid movie, and it's got, like you said, it's got something for everyone. So I'm going to say 75.
Okay. All right. That wouldn't be a bad guess. It actually came in certified fresh, 90%.
Wow. Good for that.
And then the audience score was 86%. Now, second time around, you know how the critics love the bash on a good sequel. Do you think it's gone down, stayed about the same? You don't have to really give me a number, just your general thought.
Like we say, and we've always said, sequels are definitely hard. So if being that the first one was so high, I got to say that this one's probably a little bit lower, but I still think that it performed extremely well.
Okay. Yeah, it's hovering right around the 70% mark right now. So as of last count, it's at 67%. But the audience score is actually 3% higher than the original. So back to your original first take, is this movie doesn't let you down on any level. So if you're a big fan of the original, I can see why you love this movie, based off of what you've told me so far without any spoilers. So it feels like the audience is backing you up on that opinion.
Well, good, as they should, because it's enjoyable and it doesn't feel... It's one of those movies where you don't necessarily feel the time going by. You just sort of experience it. I don't want to say anything. It's just get your ass out there, Kyle, and see it.
I plan on taking my ass to see it. Now let's talk about the box office numbers on Zombieland Double Tap here. So we are just a few days into this thing, but we've got our first weekend totals already. The movie cranked out $26.8 million opening weekend, another five foreign, so they opened $32 million worldwide. So it looks like they are climbing back to that $100 million mark. They should be able to hit that pretty easy, especially if everybody like you are telling, tell a friend, tell a friend, tell a friend, this movie is awesome, it's as good as the original, it's not going to disappoint you. I can see this thing having a little schoolyard effect.
Oh, what about for you? Sure. For sure, and what I think that this film at the time that it's coming out does for essentially, I love when a sequel comes out and then you talk about part three, one, will there be a part three? And then you have a franchise on your hands, is everybody that missed the original and that may not have been on their radar is now going to watch the original before realizing they have to see the sequel. And chances are you could probably watch number two without seeing number one.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't suggest it. So from a lot of people that I've been talking, a lot of people saying like, oh, you know, I never saw the first one. And it's like, I want to see the second one, but not without the first one. So I think there is going to be this like percussion drum beat of a schoolyard effect that works in the favor of both movies.
Yep. Yeah. And they picked a really good weekend too, because next weekend is Terminator Dark Fate. That's going to take away some of the viewership, but I don't think it's going to lose a ton. The Irishman's coming out as well, but, you know, those are kind of hit or miss on which audience is going to go see that. The week after that, really nothing in theaters, really notable to even talk about. The 15th is kind of a weekend as well. You got Ford versus Ferrari. I don't think that movie's going to do all that well. Charlie's Angels looks awful. So really, it's not until November 22nd when Frozen 2 and A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood comes out that I think the numbers are going to really drop at that point. So, yeah, I mean, they're looking at almost like a full month here. Make cash while you can.
No, and I think Joker really set the bar for October being a successful month for movies that aren't traditional horror movies but have elements that really carry over to the theme of October to begin with, so...
I have a little bit of a bone to pick with just Hollywood in general. Where are all the great horror movies? I have not seen one in October. Am I missing something?
Have you, we watched all the Halloween shorts.
I'll stop. Oh my gosh. It's like somebody made a movie a short movie with an iPhone, but had some type of distribution deal. Awful. The worst acting, too.
I don't know. The whole state of horror movies is in a unique place where everybody wants horror movies.
Yeah.
We know this. Horror movies are cheap to make.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, they perform well, but less and less are coming out. And I think maybe part of this is what was that? Scorsese and who else is complaining about the Marvel movies? I don't remember.
A lot of people have kind of jumped on the bandwagon with him.
My point being, the state of cinema has changed so abruptly over the last few years that maybe horror is getting edged out in favor of what A24 is doing with their more direct and streaming options. Because there's a lot out there. I mean, Midsommar hit screens for like a few weeks, but now it's just blowing up. It's on Amazon or Hulu right now. And everywhere I go, everybody's talking about watching it now, but they didn't see it in theaters.
Can I confess that I have not actually watched that movie yet? And it sounds like I need to.
It's on my list, and I just haven't. I've just every time I sit down to watch something, I just put on Dexter.
Yeah, I started going back through Breaking Bad again. So once I'm done with that, though, I'm free. I'm free to watch some horror movies. Okay, well let's get to the reason we're here. Let's drop some spoilers, man. Tell our audience your real thoughts, and feel free to drop a little bit of what you loved about the movie. Some of the cameos, the shots. 3, 2, 1.
Yeah, putting me on the spot here. So, you know, obviously the movie is not without flaw. I loved it. I enjoyed every second of it. The people that I was with actually loved it more than I did. It was nice to see Luke Wilson make an appearance in the movie. He hasn't been around in a long time. And his character was really funny with Thomas Middleditch. And these are characters that are in the trailer, too. So it's not like it's a surprise. But their roles are pretty limited, but hilarious. And we've talked about Silicon Valley a few times before. And Middleditch is hilarious in that. And he brings that same level of charm. But just watching him and Jesse Eisenberg riff off of one another with their geeky charm is just, it steals the show. And the theater was, you know, up in arms and laughing and clapping, and like everything about it was really good. We get to see Bill Murray come back. I don't want to say too much about what his role is in the movie, but there's a little part with him in it that's fucking awesome. It's just ridiculous. And Kyle, I think you're going to especially love it because it's just going to bring out the WWF side of you when you see Bill Murray. Just and you'll know what I'm talking about when you see it. Cause it's just, it's just so great. And, you know, they don't do too much to like advance the mythology or, I mean, they do somewhat, they sort of identify different kinds of zombies and they give them nicknames and stuff like that. And there's a lot of pop culture references to that, which is interesting and funny. And, you know, needless to say, there's one zombie that they nicknamed the Homer, and those are just the klutzy zombies that just sort of fall around. And it's cool. It's unique. And they open up the story to tell even more about what it's like with life in Zombieland. The big thing that I don't understand, and I couldn't understand, and I want to know more about, is how does everybody know the naming convention? Because everybody just calls each other the names of the city. Like, even when they meet people for the first time, it's like, oh, you're Canton, or, you know, you're Berkeley. And like the guy like introduces himself as Berkeley, and it's like, how does he know what these people on the? I just want to know. I think there's more to the mythology because they get more into like the zombie killer of the day and the week and the month, and they do a zombie killer of the year, which is just, I lost it when they did that scene. It was really funny.
Let me ask you this: there's been talk. Well, I guess maybe not talk, but there has been talk among the cast, in particular Emma Stone, said she would love to do this every 10 years and do another one in 2029. What do you think about that?
I think that's a unique way to go about making a franchise, to wait every 10 years. On the one hand, it's a long time to wait. I don't want to wait that long for another one.
I know.
You know, I would rather them wait before rushing out part 3 next year, which a lot of franchise franchises tend to do, which we see with like The Conjuring, where it's like, some, I don't even think it goes a year between movies. It's like every 6 months we get a new one. Like Final Destination used to do. It's like you blink and there's a new one coming out. Saw used to do the same thing, and it really runs the content into the ground. So I think waiting 10 years is smart in some regards, but really risky too, because I mean, Woody Harrelson's no spring chicken anymore.
That's very true. Getting up there in age. It's interesting to kind of look back at where they were at in their career 10 years ago and look at where they're at now in 2019 and realize like Emma Stone is now probably the most accomplished actress in the bunch. Even though Woody Harrelson's got a lot of experience on him, what does she have now? 2 Academy Awards?
Is it that
she's
many?
She's racking up hardware for some of her roles. Abigail Breslin, I mean, completely grown up in this one. I feel like Jesse Eisenberg was kind of like the hot thing in the original. His career's cooled a little bit. I don't know where he would be in 2029. Can you still get away with neurotic, fast-talking, geeky guy at age whatever he would be?
Yeah, I mean, it's Woody Allen is still doing it, and he's like, what, in his like 120s, so.
Yeah, he might be able to pull it off. But I mean, yeah, he's already, what is he, 36 now? So. Yeah, he'd be 46 years old by the next one, if they go with Emma Stone's plan, which I doubt they will. But yeah, that put Woody Harrelson at 39, 19. So he's 58 now. So yeah, I can't see him doing 70. I guess Bill Murray's 70, isn't he? So he can still pull it off.
You would have to have Bill Murray come back in some capacity.
Bill Murray would be 80.
But yeah, I don't know. I like the idea, and I appreciate the way that it preserves the essence of the film. And I can't imagine a studio is going to look at the bottom line and say, all right, let's wait for a decade to make a few more million dollars. They're going to, I think they'll strike while the iron's hot. And I think part of the problem what took us so long to get to part two was the original movie, and maybe, you know, you got this to, I'd like to talk about a little bit, but the original movie was conceived as a TV show.
Right.
And so they kind of blew their wad on the movie and just juiced up a lot of their ideas. And then they actually, I think it was Amazon, put out a pilot episode of a TV show for it that bombed horribly. Ooh. And I think that sort of fizzled out any of the fire that was left from the original between then and 2014. So I think 5 years is more of a realistic window to see a third one, and that gives some time to let new pop culture settle in. Like there's the really funny part where they're describing Uber, but obviously Uber doesn't exist in Zombieland, because if the apocalypse had hit in 2009, all the technologies from then till now are gone. Mm-hmm. So it's like this really meta moment where they're like, oh yeah, wouldn't it be cool if you can just use your phone to dial up somebody, use, you know, on a internet app to come pick you up, and they're a stranger, and you just pay them in virtual currency. And everyone's like, that's a stupid idea.
Right.
So you have to let some of the pop culture and some of the significant events of the time bake into the history and the mythology that is going to be produced throughout the rest of the film. So I don't think you can just jump it right out without it being a stupid, repetitive zombie movie. There needs to be that significance in there.
Okay. Okay. Last question. Again, spoilers here, people, if you don't want to know. Is there a larger Ghostbusters reunion in this movie outside of Bill Murray?
No.
No? Okay. I know originally it was reported that Dan Aykroyd was going to be in this, and they were going to try and get Ernie Hudson as well. But apparently that never happened, huh?
If that happened, I just completely missed it, and it was way over my head.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think Dan Aykroyd's been credited in this movie, and he certainly was not promoting it when he did the Joe Rogan show. So, okay. Oh, that's a miss right there. They should have definitely done that.
Oh, well, I mean, with the new Ghostbusters movie coming out, like an official Ghostbusters movie, not a cheap, lazy knockoff, that they call Ghostbusters and use bad actors in it and create a bad movie and then complain about their bad movie. Turning in bad homework, then getting mad at the teacher. It's like, you guys made a bad movie, accept it. Maybe that hampered that idea a little bit, and maybe we won't see that again until part three.
Okay. Okay. Gotcha. Well, let's wrap it for this episode. I think this has been good. Short little review. We've got Terminator coming out next weekend. I will probably see that movie opening weekend, I would imagine. So maybe we'll do this again next week with Terminator. So I don't know if you'll be running out to see it, but we can switch roles and pop out another one.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great idea. I think the trailer for it looks pretty fantastic. And one of the early reviews that I read did call this one of the best Terminator sequels, which isn't saying much.
Mm-hmm.
But when you say that, it's comparing that to Terminator 2, which many call probably the best in the series. I know we've gone back and forth on that a little bit. I think that gives some high hope.
Yeah, I actually think Terminator 2 is like almost a perfect movie. So, yeah, I actually like it more than I do the original.
And I think most people, I don't want to speak for most people, I think a lot of people do. And I think part of that is the first one is so much more of like an 80s movie.
Right. Doesn't age as well.
Yeah. And then, I mean, even the pacing and the cinematography of it, it's very per the time, where I think T2 is much more like the action figures that launched with it and the video games. Like, there's more nostalgia baked into it that I think a lot of people respond more positively to it as well. And I'm with you. I think I like the second one a lot more.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, maybe we'll do that for sure. This week we'll be pumping out a new episode and we're going to be doing Halloween 3, right?
Let's do
it. Season of the Witch. Okay. So yeah, teaser trailer will be coming. And then we will be jumping into the full review for that. So let's stay tuned. But for now, make sure you guys follow us over at Back in Time Pod, Twitter, Instagram. Subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, CastBox, Google Podcast, IGTV, YouTube. I feel like I'm missing one in there, but we're pretty much everywhere at this point. I'm at KAutry29. JD's at UnjustJustin. Thanks for listening to this special episode. We will talk to you guys in a couple days. See ya.
Double tap.